Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, you know, to have anybody who is, you know, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast.
This is Bart Eisley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast, talking football this week. And we had a really exciting, fun week that kind of went down. And it started, the big game of the week was that Charlottesville-Harrisonburg game that was just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you were out there, so you know better than I do. But it's pretty impressive, just even watching and following that on Twitter. I was over at Monticello, and you just see the back and forth, and the pace of that game. I mean, Charlottesville's first three games of the year, the schedule they put together, coming out 2-1 makes such a difference than 1-2.
And it's a great schedule that they put together, a very challenging schedule. Really should kind of get them ready for things. EC Glass, Harrisonburg, and James Monroe, they pick up a lot of points from beating Harrisonburg. James Monroe's had a tough schedule to start the year, but they're probably going to start picking up the pace and getting some wins too. So this is a great schedule from a just a battle-tested standpoint. It's a great schedule from a, you know, getting ready for the playoffs and picking up those points standpoint that are going to be so important by the end of the year. And, I mean, you got to love what they're able to do. They know who they are. This is a Charlottesville program that has searched for an identity for years. And they had it back when Garvin DeBerry, you knew what you were going to get with a Charlottesville program. You know, then they kind of just went through a few years where they just weren't really sure what they were. And it's taken Eric Sherry and company a little while to build it. But Sherry and Terrell Mulford and that coaching staff have really put together, they just know what they are now. They know they're a triple option football team. They know that they're a physical, mean, mashing football team. They play this bend but don't break defense style. They know they're going to give up some yards, but they come after you in the red zone. When it really kind of comes down to it, they really step up. Give up a lot of points to Harrisonburg, but they got A.C. White, the quarterback for Harrisonburg, is unbelievable. It's no wonder that kid's got several Division I offers and a chance to play at the next level. He's really sort of a knockoff Cam Newton type, really good, aggressive runner, really good on the run, throws the ball well. And Charlottesville was able to take care of business. Tobias Foley, man, he's tough. And Sam Neill is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that sort of sticks out in that one is, you know, the big fumble early on and how much that hurts them. There are Charlottesville teams that might not get over that hump in years past, and this one did. And you see Tobias Foley step up and just really carry things. And the 1-2 punch with him and Neill, I just think overcoming the mistakes early on in a game and coming out on the winning side means so much for this team that, hey, it's okay. We can be down and get back over this.
And overcoming Keamy Davis being out. I mean, that's a guy who we know what Rakeem Davis brings to the table, and he gets knocked out early, doesn't play the last three quarters. And again, like, they have depth, like a depth issue. They just don't have incredible, overwhelming depth. Very few teams do. It's not like that's uncommon, but they have a depth, you know, they have a depth issue that they always have to be on the lookout for. And yet, they lose a big-time gun like, you know, Rakeem Davis, and other guys on defense step up, make big plays all the way through. you know, whether it's Stinney or whether it's, you know, it's Trajan Bryant, like getting in there and mashing people up, looking like Mike Daniels from the Packers there, just kind of disrupting things in the middle, forcing the issue on other teams. Those guys are just, that is a fun defensive unit. That is a fun offense to watch. And Sam Neill just creates probably because he does it so perfectly at quarterback. And
there's a lot of confidence in that kid right now.
Yeah, they're playing well.
It sort of exudes. Team sort of soaks it up.
Yeah, the whole team is confident. I think they're leading right now. All of them are kind of leading, and they're all sort of pushing forward. 2-1 is huge for them.
That's a 2-point convert away from a 3-0 team.
No question.
And I think they know it, and that's going to be huge these next 7 weeks, what we get to see from them.
So you turn around, and then across town, you were at Monticello. Monticello has not had the strength of schedule quite that, you know, a Charlottesville has, but they really, you know, they can't change who they're going to play. And yeah, they're taking
beat the
care
teams
of
that you're supposed to beat, and they're beating the snot out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two games, Monroe, and then now beating
Turner Ashby.
Sorry. And just by, you know, putting up 50 spots. Kevin Jarrell's the real deal. We've known that for a while, and it just looks more and more so the case now. Lost in that mix is Jarek Ayers has a 144-yard game on 12 carries. It's
hard to even notice.
Yeah. Just a run-of-the-mill game for him, I guess. No big deal. But, yeah, Monticello just came out in that first quarter and dominated. And the thing that you like most about that team is what they're doing defensively. They expect to be able to do this offensively. They've had the weapons. They had 500-yard games last year, and they just didn't get on the winning side of things because what happened on the other side of the ball. So this team is much more confident in that area. And with Spotswood, this game, them heading over the mountain into the valley to play them, that's a really good team. I think this is going to be sort of their opportunity to really make a statement. I think the first two games are an obvious statement to the rest of the Jefferson District that Monticello's back. Beating Spotswood would say like they're ready to throw blows with Louisa and Albemarle and all these guys. I'm really excited for that one. I think having this kind of depth, having all these teams sort of being even, is going to be really fun for these next couple weeks.
It's hard to make a statement in a loss, but I think Western Albemarle just did that.
Yeah.
They go on the road to a Lord Botetourt team that a lot of people think is going to compete for a state title this year. Probably going to be in that mix.
And Botetourt's been at the top of the region for 3-4 years. I mean, Western's had to worry about them when Western was one of the top dogs.
Yeah. I mean, to go down there, to play them that close, to lose in that sort of fashion, that's really kind of a big step. That's a really, you know, that's a thing that you can build on. I mean, they don't, you know, Western is a program that does not like, you know, moral victories, but this is one of them that I think that they're probably okay with. I mean, go down there on the road, play that well. Domek played really well. Wide Hole got in the mix. The defense against a physical run game. They've got a couple of D1 points. Couple of D1 linemen on that team that can really pave the way, and they only 17 points.
Western was up in that one, so I know it's disappointing to lose, but
a physical run game.
Yeah,
Western Albemarle has struggled so much against physical run games. We know from Stan River.
Stan River two times in the playoffs.
Yeah, and yet here we are, and they're playing, you know, chesting up with a big Lord Botetourt team, and you got to give it Derek Domek playing really good football right now. He's taking care of the ball. They're not making a lot of mistakes. So time to get kind of excited about Western. They finally get a home game when they face off against Collegiate.
And then they play. Yeah, Collegiate is the opposite of what you're going to see from Botetourt.
You see a team that throws it around.
Yeah, you know, runs five wide receivers and just sort of spreads you out and makes things thin. So you're going to learn a lot about Western in just 2 weeks. You know, sort of the depth that this team has and just how diverse they can be on the defensive side of the ball.
Another team that went on the road, and while they only got to play a half, made a kind of a statement, Blue Ridge, with a really big-time performance against Hargrave. Xavier Kane, we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but he is an electric player. They've got a lot of good balance on that team. They're finding some pieces around him that can really make things work. This is just a really good start for Blue Ridge, and they're building something. They're looking at defending a state title, and so far, so good for them. But big week this week for them.
Yeah, I mean, they got Covenant coming up. That's going to be huge. With Blue Ridge, what you want to see is, so what's this team look like without Armwood, who's been a leader for them, Jaleel Puryear, you know, real physical presence for them. What does this team look like, this different version? It's going to be a very different Blue Ridge team, but they're always going to be athletic.
Yeah.
They always have great wide receivers, great skill position players. It's just how much do they have up front to get that push for those guys.
And that's where Flint Hill, before they take on Covenant, is going to be – that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
They're going to play a really athletic – tough Flint Hill team, and like you said, they've got to be ready.
Given them troubles in the past,
yeah, they got to be ready to. They've got to be ready to compete in the line. But this skill thing, they've got a good rhythm going. Sam Fort, they're going to lean on him a little bit more as things kind of move on. And Kane has an incredible ability to kind of keep plays alive with his feet. He's such an athletic kid, but he keeps his eyes up. He throws downfield. He doesn't really kind of let the rush get to him. And that's what he's going to have to do against a Flint Hill team that's going to bring it defensively.
Yeah, and what you like about what he did last year is he sort of jack of all trades for them.
Yeah.
Kid's got experience at like every position you can possibly play. So I expect him to be just a tremendous leader for them going forward.
Guchlin and Louisa both moved to 3-0, and that's a really good start for that crew. And Covenant too, another team that's 3-0. You know, you got to feel really good about how all three of those teams are playing. Covenant maybe is the biggest surprise in that group, but Guchlin got it done with their defense last week. Louisa got it done. The offense is starting to get going. They're really starting to pick up the pace. They've got guys who you didn't even know about, like a Jared Hunter. Like, it's getting tougher and tougher to play defense against Louisa, and it was already like a really tall task.
Yeah, I mean, Louisa goes into the bye week with exactly what they want. They're pretty healthy. They're 3-0, and now they get Albemarle out of the gate, the Jefferson District homer next week. That's going to be a huge one. Another big surprise in there, Nelson County, 2-1.
Hey, yeah, let's talk about Nelson County. Absolutely. Yeah. Goes, beats Craig. Bryce Wilson, I believe, is still leading the area in passing. Let's hear it for Bryce Wilson down there in Nelson County. They're throwing the ball all over the place. I think they've already thrown it 50 times this year. And to get it done, you got to love what Matt Hicks is doing. He's a guy who's been around this area a long time as an assistant coach. Awesome to see what they're being able to put, you know, pulling off down there. 2-1, great start for Nelson County.
Yeah, those kids have earned it. They've worked really hard for it. You can't be but just really happy for that program and everybody involved. I know how much it means to them.
Devontae Rose is a guy who I think we'd be talking about him even more if he was on, you know, one of these bigger teams. But Devontae Rose can really play football. He is very good two ways. He's electric when he gets the ball in his hand. He had the 70-yard plus against Page, catch and run. He is really tough to defend. He is really tough when he's defending. That's a kid that can really play. And they've had some other guys step up. Fletcher Bowles, man, he was just a basketball player last year. Now he's stepping in at receiver. So, yeah, awesome to see what Nelson County's pulling off down there. They're playing
sometimes
well.
It only takes one player to sort of get that snowball effect where other kids start coming out and you really sort of develop a depth at a program. So that's huge for them.
That defense is playing good too, man. That's not an easy task. It's hard to build a defense from the ground up, but Nelson County's doing it right now. So that kind of takes us through where everybody's at right now. We got a few – let's talk big games this week that we're excited about. It's a kind of a weird week, a transitional week, where teams are finishing up their out-of-district schedules. A couple of buys in there. So, you know, you got Charlottesville's taking a break. You got, I think Louisa's taking a break as well, and then you're going to jump into the Jefferson District slate coming up. But a few interesting matchups. Monticello gets its best test when they go over there to Spotswood. Blue Ridge gets a big test with Flint Hill. That's going to be a big ball game.
Madison County, Fluvanna playing for the first time since, I think, 2010.
Yeah.
They used to play every year, and now they're back into it. That's going to be big for them.
Yeah, no question. And those two teams are both, you know, hungry for wins. There's no question about it. And so you're going to see two teams really kind of locking up there. Western Collegiate's an intriguing matchup as well. You just never really know what you're going to get with a public-private matchup. And Orange Spotsy. Orange kind of
needs. Yeah, let's see how Orange bounces back from the sort of tour of Culpeper. I mean, that Eastern View team that they played is really, really good. And they hung in there tough early on. Let's see how they repiece things and get back out in front of 500 against them.
No question.
But yeah, Monticello Spotswood, I think that's a real statement game one way or the other.
Monticello's got a chance to really kind of prove something there. No question about it. So a lot of really interesting games coming up. Stab will be playing its first 8-man game this week against Greenbrier Christian. So that's a beginning of a new era for the Saints. And that kind of brings us to our award segment we've started to do each week. We want to do an offensive player, a defensive player, and a lineman that has really stood out. And let's start with the lineman. And we've talked about Monticello already. We talked about the kind of how they've come out of the gate. And some of that is because they have drastically improved up front.
Yeah, you know, this is an offensive line that you got a 200-yard rusher in Jarrell and then almost a 150 basically from Jarek Harris.
So a lot of rushing yards.
Got to give credit to the Monticello offensive line. You know, Elliot Curry at center, and you know, they have Lloyd goes down with an injury there and has to sort of ice his ankle for the second half. And that's big for them, seeing that they can sort of step up and continue to pound the ball. You know, anytime Monticello's physical up front, they're always going to have the pieces on the edge to get things done. They've never had bad stock at running back. We've just never seen a mediocre running back at Monticello. So I think that's huge for them, that they're able to sort of, they have the depth around them. They play really smart football. There's still room for improvement, which is fantastic for team winning games, 56-7. So yeah, shout out to them. That was an impressive performance they put together.
Curry, Talbert, that whole crew, that Monticello offensive line is playing really well. They're keeping Kevin Jarrell clean, and that's really what you got to do. I think you keep that guy upright, you're going to have a real chance to win a lot of football games. So, offensive player of the week. We talked about Jarrell already, but Kevin Jarrell's got to get – he set school records. He did all kinds of big-time stuff in that game.
Broke his own rushing record from a Waynesboro playoff game a couple years ago. 239 yards on the ground, 9 for 14 passing for 185 yards, including two just bombs. I mean, just playing 500 out there. So five total touchdowns. I mean, it's just a monster performance from him. But sort of I think what we're – expecting week to week. No, I think you're just going to see those numbers continue to pour in, you know, each week from Kevin Jarrell. He's just a fantastic runner. He's running with such a physical presence now. He's looking for contact. I'm sure that would make some coaches nervous, but you look at the frame this kid has on him, and he's going to be all right. You don't want to get in the way of him when he's running downhill. He's a big kid, and he really showed it against Turner Ashby.
The other guys, Xavier Kane, 335 yards of total offense and four touchdowns in one half of football. 265 through the air, 70 on the ground. Kane for Blue Ridge is unbelievable how productive he was in that just two quarters of football, how productive he's been early on this year. He is certainly somebody that you want to get a look at. He's got the advantage of he's throwing to some pretty good receivers right now. Cameron Carr, Michael Asher, a guy who's a little bit of a breakout star. We've seen what the Asher brothers can do around this area at Woodbury and at Stab and at Western. So we see another Asher kind of stepping up out there, and he had a big week, three catches for like 150 yards.
It's going to take some time for opposing coaches to figure out what to do with Kane. It's going to take some game tape to work on that one. That's going to be fun to watch.
No question. He's going to be a lot of fun. And then defensive player of the week, two guys really stood out, one in a loss, one in a win. Cole Knuckles out of Goochland, a guy who's coming on strong right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's big for Goochland. Defensively, they've been so dominant up front. You know, it's been Ricky Mayfield, it's been Sam Brooks, and they were there again this week. Central Lunenburg, really good early test for that Goochland team. That's been one of the better competitors in the James River. So beating them 27-7, that's a real quality win for them. Sort of lets everybody know in the James River that probably knew already that Goochland, they intend to run this thing wire to wire.
Knuckles is just a really typical Goochland football player. He's a guy who's just a really hard-nosed kid, really kind of plays well. And he's a big reason why that defense is posting an incredible turnover differential right now. He had the pick and 13-3 that they are through three games. They've forced 13 turnovers. They've only turned the ball over three times themselves. Pretty incredible start for Goochland.
Yeah, and one of those games is a deluge. The fact that they only have three turnovers, that's a big deal. But you want to know how you get to 3-0, a turnover ratio like that. That's a big reason why they're sitting out front like that.
Over in a loss, still incredible performance. Sefa Puali over at Fork Union just really played big-time football.
Yeah, I mean, this kid is just as good as we have at the linebacker position. I mean, he's just such a tough, skilled, smart, heady, every sort of compliment you could throw his way. I mean, he's just nails. And he had, against a very, very good Bullis team, he had three tackles for a loss, 12 total tackles, and he was just flying around the ball. You know, when they played against Goochland, Joe Fowler talked about just how hard it is to try and run away from him because he's everywhere.
He's going
to
close down on you.
Bulls did not have a running game. I mean, they had one big rush early in the game, their first touchdown, but they did not run the ball effectively after that. And Sefa had every reason to do with that. And you're going to see him continue to just pour in double-digit tackle games. I mean, this kid is impressive to watch. And he had one heck of an off season, and it's really sort of poured into this season for Fork Union. They're going to get a lot of production out of this kid.
What do you have? You said 12 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss. Yeah. Like, I mean, that is difficult to put up against a program as talented as Bullis is. So, heck of a performance. And you know, we've talked about it before, but the back half of Fork Union's schedule is a little more manageable than this front half.
Yeah, they have Benedictine coming up, Appomattox.
They're not messing around.
Yeah, so that team could really shock. The prep league teams are going to know that Fork Union's record does not reflect how good they are.
Yeah, so we're going to see when they kind of dive into that piece. So a lot of teams to watch, a lot of players to watch. Thank you for checking in with us, and we'll be back next week to talk it through again.